So I'll read the first 12 verses, although our focus will be on verse 8 for today, but I'll read the 12 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of that precious word. What comes into your mind when you hear the word purity? If you are like me, when you hear the word purity, what comes into your mind is sins like fornication, adultery, lust of the flesh. And I suppose it is justified because in a culture and an age that we live in, we are bombarded by these kinds of sins. Through television, through the magazine, and through billboards, through people dressing provocatively, we see all of this. And people do these things, these sins of fornication, adultery, without even blushing. And as Christians, when we look at all this uncleanliness, we could say to ourselves, we are innocent of these. I don't go to the cinemas, therefore I am clean. I don't watch things that I shouldn't be watching on the internet, therefore I am clean. I don't even have a television set, therefore I am clean. We could be like that when we look at these things. In the Word of God, Proverbs 30 verse 12, it says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness." We can think of ourselves as clean, yet in reality, we are not. We could have low standards of what purity means. We could use other people to judge the standards of purity and use the very worst of the people in our culture to judge how pure we are. Well, I might be doing certain things, but certainly that other person on the side is doing far much more worse than I'm doing. But our Lord is saying something very different here. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Remember, the story of thinking that we are much more purer than the other people is not a new thing. And even in this statement, he's actually confronting the Pharisees who thought that blessed are those who are actually clean outside. And our Lord is basically giving them a knockout punch with this statement. He's dismantling their religion to say, what you thought is purity, what you thought would give you entrance to the kingdom, what you thought would make you see God, is not actually true religion. True religion is the matter of the heart. And even when you go to chapter 23, verse 25 to 28 there, where he speaks these stern words, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Their religion was the religion that was focused on external issues. It was the religion that thought that external purity is the main thing in religion. They twisted the plan of God. They twisted the law of God, which had its main focus. Its main focus was the heart. It was internal. Now, what we will see in the text itself, if you go there to verse 8, we will look at the description of a pure heart, and then we will look at the delight of a pure heart. Now, the focus here is on the heart, and that is man's biggest problem. Man's biggest problem is that he has a bad heart. The Bible tells us that in Genesis 6, verse 5, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And even in the book of Jeremiah 17, it tells us the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search it. So true religion, indeed, is the matter of the heart. The reason we see evil without, it is because of the evil within. The problems that we see in the world, they exist because man's heart is very deceitful. People excuse what is happening in our culture, the crimes. They say it is because of the upbringing. How this person was brought up is the reason why he's committing all these crimes, is the reason why he's as bad as he is. Some of the people who have committed the crimes have been brought up in good families, according to our culture. It is the environment that has caused him to be the way he is. Our ancestor Adam was in paradise, but yet he sinned. And then they would say, it is the education. Some of the most heinous crimes that have ever been seen in history have been committed by people who are very intelligent, people who are educated. If we are to be poor, we have to understand that the problem of humanity, the human heart, that is what is the problem. And that is what we have to deal with when we want to deal with purity. Now, what is the heart? When the Bible speaks about the heart, what is it talking about? By the heart, the Bible speaks about the inner man. It speaks about the real you. It speaks about the real man, the real woman. It speaks about the mind. It speaks about the affection. It speaks about the conscious, the center of each person. It is the wellspring of life. It is the root of all things. That is the heart, the very center of our being. And we need to understand if we want to be pure, how do we deal with this heart? How do we deal with this problem that we have? Now, the purity of the heart, what is the meaning of the purity of the heart? If you are going to be pure in heart, what does it mean? First and foremost, it means the pure in heart have pure motives. The pure in heart have pure motives. Those who are pure in heart have zeal for the glory of God. They are concerned about pleasing God and not pleasing man. It is their chief end in life. They understand that they exist to glorify God. And in everything that they do, they purpose to glorify God. Their motives are pure. The second thing is that they have a pure mind. When we read in the book of Philippians, it tells us, Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those who have a pure heart, they meditate upon the truth. They meditate upon the goodness and the beautiful. Those are the people who are pure in heart. But not only that, the pure in heart have holy affections.
They understand it's not only a matter of the intellect. I don't have to think well, but I have to feel right. I have to have the right emotions. Religion does not only exist in my mind. It's not only about the memorization of scriptures. It's not only about theology that I have in my mind, but it's also about what I love. Those who have a pure heart, they also have a pure conscience. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts 24, verse 16, he says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Do we desire to have a clean conscience? Do we desire to have a clean conscience? Essentially, when we speak about a clear conscience, we speak about a person who has nothing outstanding when it comes to man and God, resolved his conflicts with man, his issues with God. He has confessed all his sins. Of course, the sins that he knows about, he has confessed them. There's nothing outstanding. Those are the pure in heart. But it doesn't mean that when you are pure in heart, you don't care about what is outward. Because sometimes people will say, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the appearance. Therefore, it doesn't matter how I look. It doesn't matter what I do. As long as I focus on the internal part. But we know very well what the Bible tells us. That the tree produces the fruit. It is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. If the tree is filthy, the fruit won't be the right kind of fruit. So, obviously, when you are pure in heart, what will come out of that is pure actions. Pure speech will come out of that. Proverbs 15, verse 25 says, "The words of the pure are pleasant words." Not only the pure in heart will they speak pure words, but the pure in heart will also have pure deeds because they flow out of that pure heart. But does that mean that those who are pure have been free, you know, from defilement perfectly? Does it mean that they can ever be perfect in this life? No. To be pure doesn't mean we are sinless. We know, even in the Bible, we are told about examples of people of faith. Noah was pure in heart, but yet he got drunk. Moses was pure in heart, yet he got angry. Peter was pure in heart, yet he denied our Lord. Abraham was pure in heart, but yet he lied. So we know for sure, definitely, doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it does mean that we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and we have been saved from the power of sin. So in one sense, we are pure at the point of our salvation. We are pure, but God continues to purify us, and he will completely purify us in heaven one day. So this is what we should be looking to. Being purified from the pollution of sin. We are made pure at the point of our salvation when God removed the stony heart and he gave us the heart of flesh. Sanctification is what this text is concerned about. Now, when we look again into our text as well, if you see it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Now, to be pure in heart implies that there is definitely a fight that we have to be involved in. Because, you know, the heart is exposed to dangers. The heart is exposed to certain shaping influences that can change it. So in other words, if we are to be pure in heart, we have to consider that we have to be engaged in a war. We have to be engaged in a fight. The pursuit of purity is what we have to be engaged in. Jonathan Edwards understood this very well. He said in his Resolution 56, resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. He was committed to this fight. Success or no success, I understand that I ought to fight. If I don't kill sin in my life, sin will be killing me. If I don't kill sin that comes out of my heart, which is the problem of humanity, I will be destroyed. I will be destroyed. And the other thing that we have even look at as well when we think about killing the sin that is in our hearts is the very fact that we must not make provision for the flesh. We must not feed the flesh. So we look at sin that comes within us. We kill that sin that is within us. We fight the sin that is in us. The fight that we are engaged in is to put sin down. We don't leave any survivors. We wipe it out. But as well, what we do, we look at those influences that come into our life and we guard ourselves. That is why Proverbs says, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. We protect it against those influences that would basically destroy our lives. We make no provision for the flesh. But we don't do this with our own strength, because in this battle, in this war with sin, we need help. We need to be helped. So divine assistance is what we need. And God does provide that divine assistance. If you go to Romans, the book, Romans tells us as well that it is only through the Spirit that the deeds of the flesh are mortified. This is what we see, the description of this purity. So we know definitely to be pure in heart is to be pure in mind, to be pure, to have pure motives, to have pure affections, but also out of that pure heart, pure affection and pure motives, we have pure speech and pure action. And we fight sin. That is the description of this pure heart. But then the second thing is the delight of the pure heart. What is the delight of the pure heart? Go to your text. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Seeing God is the delight of a pure heart. The book of Habakkuk 1 verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cast not look on iniquity, cannot look at iniquity. So we know that those who are to see God have to be pure as well. They have to be clean. They have to be clean from the defilement of sin. Sin doesn't dwell in God's presence. God is holy, and we are to be holy as he is. Holiness is God's moral excellence. Holiness is the outshining of God's characters. And if we are to see him, if we are to fellowship with him, we have to be pure. Only those who are striving, only those who are fighting sin, only those who are engaged in the war with sin, trying to kill sin, to put it to death so that they could be pure, only those people can experience the delight of seeing God. But we see God in two ways. We see God in this life, and we see God in the life to come. Now, how do we see God in this life? In creation, we see the great artist who has actually shown his genius and his creativity by creating all things that we see and showing his beauty through them. But those who are unbelievers, those who are impure, they see natural processes that has created beauty. They see beauty coming out of explosion. But we see the great artist, the great architect at work. In the providence, we who are pure in heart, who are fighting, who are engaged in this war, we see the wise sovereign waking all things to the good of those who love him, But those who are impure, they see fate working its design. We see God in our lives. We see God in our circumstances when we are pure. We see him as well in his word. We see him in the scriptures. God illuminates his word to us. We understand his word better. We understand his character better. This is how we see him in this life. Perhaps the greatest way we see him is when we are in fellowship with him. Who can ascend the mountain? Who can fellowship with God? Only those who have clean hands, only those who are pure can fellowship with God. But we also see him in the life to come. This is how the pure actually experience this delight. Now, this is the consummation of it all. The purifying hope that the Christian has that one day he will see God. The scripture that we read in 1 John. If you go to it again, I just want to read it to you again. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." We understand that for us to actually experience this fellowship ultimately with God in heaven, we also have to be pure. And in this life, we purify ourselves as he is pure. This is the hope of seeing Christ, as we would have seen when our pastor was doing the series on heaven. We shall see him face to face. We shall see Christ. A man who is not pure in this life cannot hope to see him in the next. There are many people, it doesn't matter how they live their life now. They are not engaged in the war with sin. They are not pursuing purity. They are not pursuing to be cleansed of all the uncleanness that we see in the world. But one day, they think they will see him. It won't happen. It won't happen. If you're not striving for purity in this life, you won't be seeing God in the next. Yeah, as part of the delight that we have, the delight of seeing God, there's also another thing that the text speaks about there. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed. Those are the happy. Only a holy man, only a pure man, only those who are pure in heart are happy. You cannot be happy if you are indulging in sin, because sin will destroy you. Sin is basically that separation between you and God. And man's ultimate goodness is actually God himself. The only happiness that man can ever hope to experience in life is when he is in fellowship with God and God is showing his goodness to him. So joy comes when our hearts have been purified. Our hearts have been cleansed. Now, how does being pure help us? What does it promise us? If you read 2 Timothy verse 2, can we just go there? 2 Timothy verse 2. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20, it reads, "But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter,
He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So when we are pure, we are able to be useful in life. God is able to use holy instruments. It was Robert McShane who said that a holy minister is an awful weapon at the hands of God. If we want to be used by God in this life, we ought to strive for purity. That is another promise that we have by being pure. But what kind of habits should we be putting in our lives? What kind of things should we be doing in our lives so that we ensure that we are pure? We could meditate on the holiness of God and sin sinfulness. We can give ourselves time to examine our lives and see where we have gone wrong. We could be brutally honest with ourselves and stop comparing ourselves with the worst person in our culture. We could deliberately factor God in our lives. Cut off all the sources of evil. Stop excusing sin in our life. And deal with it. Be engaged in the war. May the Lord help us to pursue purity with an understanding that ultimately He is our example. He is pure, and we ought to strive to be pure as He is pure. Let us pray.